There is a trade war. We'll check in with it. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Congress is not in session this week, but a Senate committee is holding what's known as a field hearing in Alabama. The topic is the impact of tariffs on that state's manufacturing and agriculture. Several auto executives with operations in the region are expected to testify. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
Alabama is a modern-day motor city.
Hyundai, Toyota, Honda, and Mercedes.
They all have big operations there, says Michelle Krebs with Auto Trader. And they're all being impacted by tariffs on steel. So far, the companies have eaten the extra costs. But Krebs says that's getting expensive and automakers will have to start raising car prices soon. That'll mean fewer sales and...
When vehicle sales drop, automakers have to trim back production, and that often means laying off workers.
That could deliver a hit to Alabama's economy. And retaliatory tariffs on exports could deliver another blow. Ed Kim is with Auto Pacific. He says the Mercedes plant in Alabama makes a lot of SUVs to sell overseas.
Daimler, the parent company, is already exploring, moving production of those vehicles locally to China so that they wouldn't be subject to Chinese tariffs.
That'd be a lot of lost hours for Alabama's workforce. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
The Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit ended over the weekend with a vivid sign of non-cooperation. The U.S. and China are members, and the U.S. and China could not agree on an official communique, a joint statement by the gathered officials, so there was none. This is about the trade war. On Mondays, we check in with economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
How does an economist look at this? I mean, do we see data that the trade war is actually affecting the U.S. economy in a macro way?
Well, first of all, the U.S. economy is still doing very well and generally outperforming other countries. But we are starting to see a bit of a slowdown in investment and a bit of a widening in the trade deficit from declining exports. And companies in their Q3 earnings reports are starting to talk about how they're managing these conflicts and this uncertainty.
If you toed up the things that are giving markets confidence, it's that things like the U.S. labor market seems very strong. But in the debit column is uncertainty over the trade war.
Yes, absolutely. And companies are starting to talk about things like localizing global supply chains to protect themselves from political conflicts and uncertainty. That's not good for productivity or profitability. That's expensive. So that's not great news for the market.
You know, you're an economist. That's the economist talking. If you're a worker who wants a strong labor market, maybe closer to the U.S. helps the U.S. labor market.
If it comes back to the U.S., of course, one of the features of the global recovery is that most of the growth is happening outside of the U.S. So that doesn't necessarily mean production is coming back here. It could be going elsewhere.
Always good to talk to Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We're also covering the firing and arrest today of the chairman of Nissan. This after accusations of financial impropriety and underreporting of pay. Ghosn is one of the car industry's superstars. He's also chairman and CEO of France's Renault. The Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed has our coverage if you miss it on the air. Renault stock is down 9%. The Tokyo market is closed, so we can't tell you about Nissan.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
We have a story this morning about what a casserole can tell us about the packaged food industry here in 2018. Now, I'd miss this, but the inventor of green bean casserole died last month. Dorcas Riley was 92. She was a home economist for Campbell's, the soup company, which has been struggling. As Peggy Lowe from station KCUR reports, the soup that stars in Mrs. O'Reilly's green bean casserole concoction has a long shelf life.
This is a common sound in kitchens this time of year. Campbell's original recipe for green bean casserole is made with a can of green beans, a can of cream of mushroom soup, a little milk, a little soy sauce, and topped off with a can of French fried onions. It's on many tables at Thanksgiving. Last November, Campbell's says it sold 25 million cans of the soup.
The green bean casserole is the top recipe on campbellskitchen.com. It's that season.
That's Jane Freeman, director of Campbell's Consumer Test Kitchen. She says Dorcas Riley invented the casserole to use what home cooks would already have in their cupboards.
I think that just shows the longevity of this recipe because it's using six ingredients that everyone still to this day has on hand.
But one soup's longevity can't hold up a company's entire bottom line. Over the years, Campbell's has seen declining soup sales, and its CEO abruptly retired last May after a move to fresh foods didn't work. Alexia Howard, an analyst at Bernstein Research, says companies that make processed foods aren't doing well.
Millennials don't buy many products in cans. And the idea of a condensed soup that needs to be diluted with water is something that they're not even aware of. So there's a pretty big problem in there.
Oh, here's the green beans that I use when I make my healthy casserole.
I went shopping with Jean Stribling at a Trader Joe's in Kansas City to pick up the ingredients she needs for her version of green bean casserole. She's a 39-year-old mother of two. She buys frozen green beans in a bag, and she prefers the Trader Joe's brand of the cream of mushroom soup in a carton.
So it's basically just a cream of mushroom soup, just like Campbell's, but with better ingredients.
Campbell's interim CEO, Keith McLaughlin, recently said Campbell's has had a challenging year and all of its products are being reviewed. In Kansas City, I'm Peggy Lowe for Marketplace.
I don't do the green bean casserole, but it's possible when a potluck demands. I've made easy chicken thighs with apricot jam and a packet of Lipton dried French onion soup mix. The chicken's not vegan, but apparently that French onion soup is, perhaps accidentally so. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report, which is from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.